Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Midday News.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM in Accra. We're also live on Love 99.5 in Kumasi on myjoyonline.com. We're live in all 16 regions of Ghana via our various affiliates on X Spaces and Facebook. This Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. Coming up, as investigations continue into the military helicopter crash that claimed the lives of Defence Minister Dr. Edward Omane Boamah and seven 7 others. Joint News research indicates the aircraft was at least 4 minutes from its landing point when it crashed. We have details of that coming up also this afternoon. Vice President of Imani Africa slams what he calls complete breakdown in search and rescue after the deadly crash. Meanwhile, the Ashanti Regional Secretary or Security Council is stepping up efforts to recover parts of the wreckage believed to have been taken by unknown individuals. Also coming up, we'll hear from Interior Minister Haji Muntaka Mubarak, who's been sharing details of the investigations.
The Armed Forces Council, which I'm a member, together with Dr. Mani, met on Friday, and we have set the ball rolling. All we ask of Ghanaians is to be patient.
In sports,
Ghana's 100-meter record holder Abdulrashid Saminu is up against the world's fastest man ahead of the World Championships.
Also this afternoon, Volta River Aviation helicopter makes emergency landing at Nkoko. This morning, we'll bring you details of that shortly. These and more with me, Mami Senior Mitya Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless and credible. Please stay. This afternoon, Joy News Independent checks into the military helicopter crash that claimed the lives of Defence Minister Dr. Edward Omane Boama, Environment Minister Alhaji Murtala Mohammed, and six others have revealed the aircraft was just minutes away from its destination before the tragedy struck. Our research indicates the helicopter crashed into a tree top atop a mountain in the Dampia Forest Reserve, at least 4 minutes from its landing point in Obuasi. And joining me in the studio is our lead data and research analyst, Isaac Kofieje, with the exact coordinates and visualizations from the crash site. Kofi, what are we learning?
Well, Mami, based on our analysis, depending on available official data, plus the exact coordinate points of the crash point, it indicated that the pilot had completed approximately 93% of the journey before the crash occurred. The helicopter was at least 4 minutes away from reaching Obuasi at the time of the incident. Mm. The pilot had roughly 13 kilometers left to cover before the crash. And in real life terms, that's about the same distance traveling from the Jubilee House to Medina. We also understand that the pilot or the plane was trying to get over a mountain as tall as about 1,000 feet. That's approximately 125, the football pole, 125 of it. That was as high as, that was the height of the mountain that the pilot was trying to go over before the crash.
Well, were there possible safe landing spots in the case of emergency from what you're learning?
Well, Mami, using Google Earth Pro and the exact crash site coordinates, our visualization indicate that there were at least three potential emergency landing areas before the crash point. And the key word here is before the crash point. These include Sikaman, which was approximately 2.6 kilometers away from the crash point, Adosso, 4.8 kilometers away, and Diapompo, 5.7 kilometers away. So at least there were three safe landing points before the crash point.
Wow. Okay, so what do we also find out about the Galamsey?
In fact, our mapping also identified several clusters of Galamsey sites, few meters or few kilometers away from the crash location, especially Kwesi and Kromakrom, sited about 3.8 kilometers from the crash site, which is heavily surrounded by Galamsey activities. Around that same time, we were able to estimate about 228 acres of land, which is about 129 football fields, heavily degraded due to Galamsey activities, Mami.
Well, thank you very much, Isaac Kofieje, lead data and research analyst with Joy News, giving us some information on the helicopter crash. Meanwhile, policy analyst and vice president of Imani Africa, Bright Simmons, is raising serious concerns about Ghana's search and rescue preparedness and policy gaps in the wake of the fatal crash of the Ghana Air Force helicopter. In a detailed analysis posted on X, Mr. Simmons points to a complete breakdown of Ghana's search and rescue protocol following the Z9 helicopter crash. According to him, the elaborate framework outlined in Ghana's own manual, which should have triggered a coordinated multi-agency response, simply failed to function when it mattered most. And Dr. Bryce Simmons joins us via Zoom for more on this. We're grateful for your time, Dr. Simmons. You've described Ghana's search and rescue response to this crash as a complete breakdown. But can you walk us through exactly what should have happened under this particular manual and what actually happened?
Yes, thank you very much. It's Mr. Simmons. And what I was trying to do was to outline the search and rescue architecture in Ghana and whether or not this search and rescue architecture came to life. So what I first did was to look at the manuals, the search and rescue manuals, typically prepared under the aegis of the Ghana Civil Aviation Authority. And that's is, you know, pretty straightforward. You know, an aircraft such as the GHF 631, the helicopter that crashed in Adanse, will have an emergency beacon, particularly for military crafts. This is to aid search and rescue. And there are two main types, or maybe I'll say three main types. There are those that will trigger underwater, and that is often embedded within the flight data recorder itself. So this is a different case because this was a crash on land. So we are looking more at either the emergency location transmitter or in some instances we call a personal locator beacon. But whatever be the specifics, there will normally be some device in the aircraft, in this case the helicopter, that will activate on crash. And that will send a signal on a dedicated frequency to a satellite network, a global satellite network. And that global satellite network will relay through mission control centers, and in Ghana, we have a rescue coordination center in Accra under the aegis also of the Ghana Civil Aviation Authority. So when they get this signal, they're supposed to notify all the contacts, key contacts in different institutions so that you can do a response. In the specific case of a military aircraft, if the ELT, and that's where the issues arrive, if our ELT protocol is not working, either because that device is not in the plane or there was some kind of fault in relaying that message to the satellite or whatever be the situation, a military aircraft would typically also have a PLB, which is a more local signaling device. Now, here is the issue. You remember that we have two main information in the public domain, two main categories of information in the public domain that is really critical. One is that we lost radar contact very early on when the aircraft left the base, heading towards the destination. And the second is that for many, many hours, there were no official respondents. These are matters that are in the public domain and have been well covered by the media. Mm-hmm. Now, once the radar contact was lost, the traditional protocol is that you have flight following and tracking. Somebody attempts to find a missing aircraft because the aircraft is not on the radar. And then in this case also, it hadn't arrived at its destination. So in those circumstances, this is where the beacon and the fact that you have last known point for loss of contact, as well as you know the flight trajectory, etc., means you activate a flight following protocol. Some other aircraft goes looking for this. And that is when then the beacon, the personal locator beacon, will scan for the frequency for the signal. You see what I mean? Yes. So all of this is dedicated in both the national manual as well as in terms of the protocol in the Air Force itself. So the question then was, when this incident happened, once it, you know, we lost track of the aircraft on radar, once it became clear that it hadn't arrived at its destination, how was the flight following activated? So, and if the flight following was activated, how come they could not scan for the aircraft and then send first respondents to the location?
Right.
So you have multiple failings on multiple grounds, is what I'm trying to say.
Mr. Simon, so I want to find out from you, have you personally checked whether these systems were deployed and failed to work, or they weren't deployed at all?
So I've tried to get conclusive information from our sources, and the information that is being produced currently is not coherent. So it's very clear to me, because obviously we have to, compare that to what we all saw on TV, on social media, etc. And it's very clear that even if these systems existed, they were not activated. Because we know for sure, for instance, that the Ghana Air Force could not secure the site. We know, for instance, that other services in the military could not coordinate with the Ghana Air Force to contain the site. We know, for instance, that first respondents arrived much later than the 1 hour response time that we have in the manual. So there are several elements of this. The second thing that is obviously very important is that the way that our Air Force bases are distributed, we've always known in the country that we have a missing gap in the center of the country. So even if, you know, we had activated, the speed of response obviously is not helped by the fact that we don't have within the middle belt of the country a base. We have a tactical command in Bui, but it has no aircraft. So there's something else that I also mentioned.
Right. And there's been concerns about the investigation. Even though information is quite limited, would you also agree that there should be an independent investigation into this aside the army?
Well, first of all, there should be a commitment to publish the terms of reference and the scope of the investigation clearly. Because, you know, attempts for myself to get a clear view of what are the terms of reference for this investigative board that has been set up have not been answered. We don't even know the members of the investigative board. It's supposed to be an intelligence investigation, but there's very little knowledge that we have there. Secondly, we also have to remember that at this point, a lot of the debris and the wreckage is gone. It's been dispersed. But widely, some of it have been taken by individuals, being heavily tampered with as well. So we are very reliant on what we often call the black box, the cockpit voice recorder and the flight data recorder. Now, we've been doing a lot of reviews and analysis using a lot of investigations in Ghana and elsewhere to try and constitute our theory of the problem. And one of the discoveries that we've made is that you were talking about the Volta River aviation aircraft that had an emergency landing. I don't know whether you are aware that in 2014, we had a crash involving the same airline, Volta River Aviation. And in that crash in May 2014, when the black bus was taken to Paris for evaluation, I think it was taken to BEA, which is a famous laboratory that does these things. And the evaluation was done. It was found out that for some reason, there was a malfunction and the latest flight data parameters were not captured on the device.
All right. Okay.
So even though we've been told that we've found the black boxes, that does not provide us with 100% assurance that we have all the data we need for the investigation, given incidents elsewhere in Ghana where the black box does not have the full data. So you often need multiple source of data to do this, which is why the contamination of the site is such a problem.
All right. Grateful for your time this afternoon. That's Bright Simmons, Vice President of Imani Africa. Well, this afternoon, the Ashanti Regional Security Council has intensified efforts to recover all parts of the military helicopter wreckage amid reports that some components may have been taken by unknown persons. On Friday, a resident returned a watch picked from the crash site shortly after President Mahama inaugurated a committee to investigate the incident. The council appealed to anyone who may have taken items from the wreckage to return them in exchange of a reward, warning that keeping such items will be treated as a criminal offence starting today. And Fred Smith, our editor, is in studio with me to share details of that letter with us. Fred.
Well, Mamie, see, that appeal was 2 days ago. Today, the minister has updated his communication and he says he's thanking the community, youth, significant parts of the craft and other belongings have been returned, and they are still expecting more by the close of today.
Thank you, Fred Smith. Well, in Andanse, Brofu Yedru, the community closest to the crash site, residents have expressed strong dissatisfaction over what it describes as derogatory public remarks, including terms like villagers and thieves directed at the youth and farmers who selflessly assisted in the recovery and evacuation efforts. Chairman of the Media Coalition for Development in Andanse, Robert Anochi Jainfi, shared these concerns in an interview with Joy News.
The resultant commentary surrounding how the people rallied and also helped in evacuating those bodies. And the kind of commentary being run by people who are remote from the other scene.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains August 15th through the 18th. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project.
Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
And the kind of commentary and description being offered around the issue is quite disheartening. Some have been describing the town folks, in quotes, as villagers, some also labeling them as thieves. It is quite unfortunate. And I think as a country, looking at what unfolded, what happened, and looking at the kind of response that is untrained people offered to the state, if we can't praise them, I don't think it is appropriate also to use certain words in describing their effort.
Well, a Volta River Aviation helicopter with registration and number 9GAFW was forced to make an emergency landing at Nkoko earlier today. The helicopter, which was en route to Kumasi from Accra, forced it to land due to harsh weather conditions that made visibility difficult. The incident has drawn significant attention. We'll definitely follow up on that to give our listeners more details. Now, pressure is mounting on government to take decisive action against illegal mining as the most fitting tribute to the fallen gallant soldiers as well as the government officials. The Wednesday's crash claimed 8 people, including 2 cabinet ministers, who died. Speaking on Newsfile on Saturday, former ambassador to the Netherlands, Dr. Tony Adu, urged President John Mahama to honor the victims who lost their lives in the line of duty while traveling to launch a government initiative to combat the menace.
I'm not here to eulogize, nor to pay an apologetic tribute. I must say that mine will be a very tiny voice among the worldwide tributes, lamentations, and eulogies that have come following this avoidable, and I say avoidable, national tragedy. Even though we paid with death, and I believe that it cuts across all cultures that you must eulogize the dead, we must look behind and look for the cause. Why did they die? This is, to me, the most important. Why did they die? People, the Lord give us, the Lord
said. So he has a bit of expertise.
I say that God did not take. It was we who give.
Well, Dr. Adu further stated that the accident was avoidable, and if the president doesn't end illegal mining, it will kill his people.
President Mahama must kill the Galamsey or it kills the weapon. We must, this God give. God will not take innocent life. People die with their poverty or by lifestyle or by soundness, the blame would fall. Especially that point there. What is President Mahama with? Why the prestige? People say, impose an emergency executive order. Yesterday I heard from Pierre Wimmer, Ban Galamsey Wimmer. In fact, Samson, my first reaction after the chief of staff gave us the details and confirmed the death was to send a message direct to President Mahama. And I said, these 8 patriotic souls lost their lives in the fight against Galamsey. So for God's sake, Mr. President, don't let them die in vain. Stop the Galamsey now.
Well, let's take you back to the investigation where Interior Minister Muntaka Mubaraga has been given updates.
Well, one of the things that I will tell you, I mean, telling the city area, we don't want to put the cart before the horse. All I can assure you is that the Armed Forces Council, which I'm a member together with Dr. Mani and Dr. Mani, met on Friday and we have set the ball rolling. All we ask of Ghanaians is to be patient. We can assure them that the President, the Armed Forces Council was chaired by the Vice President, all the members of the Armed Forces Council, including the Foreign Minister, we have made it clear to the committee that speed and time is of great essence.
And you have the Interior Minister, Muntaka Mubarak. You're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll quickly take a break. We'll return with sports. And also, we'll tell you how are you dealing with the loss of the 8 who died last week in the crash.
It's a difficult thing to ask.
Welcome back to the Midday News. We have sports with Achu.
Mamiesi, Ghana's 100-meter record holder, Abdulrasheed Saminu, is set for a showdown with the world's fastest man this year. That's Kishin Thompson, and that's going to happen at the Hungarian Athletics Grand Prix in Budapest. Saminu has already clocked 9.84 seconds, and he did that earlier this year to rank 7th globally, and he will face a stacked field that also features Africa's fastest man in history, Ferdinand Omanyala, South Africa's Akane Simbini, and American sprinter Ronnie Baker. The high-profile sprint is scheduled for tomorrow.
Thank you very much, Achu. Now, families and colleagues of the 8 victims of last Wednesday crash continue to mourn, joined by many Ghanaians deeply affected by the tragedy. One mother shared on Facebook that her daughter no longer wants to be a pilot, sparking similar stories and advice from experts on helping children cope. In the Ashanti region, Regional Minister Dr. Frank Amoakohene says counselors and psychologists are available at the Konfanochi Teaching Hospital to support those impacted. The Mental Health Authority is urging anyone struggling with grief to seek help.
Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Please, my name is Judah. I'm speaking from the Mental Health Authority. May I know your name? Is there anything I'm calling, please?
I am Anne. I called because of, as a result of the incident that happened last week, Wednesday. I don't know any of the members, but I've been quite disturbed as a result, and looks like I can't think of any other thing.
So sorry about what you're going through. It's sad. In life, like, a lot of things do happen. Most of them we can't really control. And did you watch the videos?
You know, when the incident happened, the visuals were splashed everywhere, so unconsciously you just click to download. Immediately you see it, you definitely don't want to see it again, but it's already registered in your mind.
Oh, okay. So is there something you really love to do that can make you, like, sometimes there are certain words we don't want to hear, there are certain pictures we don't want to even see, but as we go on social media each and every day, you might stumble upon one, but then when you see it, immediately you just have to swipe it away so that you don't keep looking at it. And what if I cry?
Kukumlimli.
Is it okay if you go and see a psychologist and then across the country hospital?
Okay.
When you go to the OPD and the nurses take you to the psychology unit. They see a psychologist.
All right, so what you just heard is the test of the system by Joy News. A colleague of mine called the Mental Health Authority seeking help for psychological, you know, trauma, especially for those who are going through or struggling with grief after the 8 crashed to their death. Now, moving on, the Deputy Lands and Natural Resources Minister, Yusuf Sulemana, has revealed that the late Environment Minister was working on the repeal of LI 2462, the legislation that allows mining in forest reserves, before his death, together with 7 others, in a last week's helicopter crash. In an interview with Joy News, he said the Lands and Natural Resources Minister, Emmanuel Amakofi-Bua, who now has oversight of the ministry, will review where the late minister left off and continue to work. We'll hear from him in a moment, but first, President Mahama has spoken of his personal ties with the late Environment Minister and the Deputy National Security Coordinator, saying he mentored Dr. Murtala Mohammed when he was a new MP, while Alhaji Lumina Muniru was a frequent visitor to his home. Max Olagbagba reports.
It's a somber atmosphere here at the Bema Camp Military Cemetery. Each face tells a story of grief, sorrow, and heartbreak. Family, friends, and loved ones, including President John Mahama, have gathered to bid a final farewell to the two men. The preacher, seeking to comfort the distressed crowd, reminding them that the two men lost their lives in a burning incident and that they died as martyrs.
He died by burning, but to us, indeed, it's a painful death. But in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a blessing. The person who dies by burning or who dies in fire is a martyr. It raises the rank of the believer to the highest place in paradise.
In a brief tribute, President Mahama reflected on his personal relationship with the late Environment Minister, Dr. Murtala Mohammed, saying he had mentored him over the years.
The two brothers, Muniru and Murtala, were both personally close to me. Murtala, I mentored from when he was a new MP at Nantong, and he had been a devout member of our team, one of our very bright intellectuals. Muniru was like a younger brother. He was a permanent fixture in my house and acted almost like my personal assistant. I sent him on errands. And so this is a very deep personal loss for me.
We can now hear from the Deputy Lands and Natural Resources Minister, Yusuf Suleimana, who says the late Environment Minister's work to repeal LI 2642 will be continued.
We can only put ourselves together as a country and fight this menace called Galamsey. And we have said, look, we are not saying that people should not mine, but we want you to mine responsibly. And so going forward, the policies that government is putting in place, we will have to ensure that those policies are implemented. If we do that and we are able to reduce this menace, we would have been, as it were, serving these heroes who have passed a good service, because that is what they've died for. And so that's what we should be focusing on.
Just on that assertion, there are those who say that these eight persons have paid the ultimate price for Galamsey. And they're saying that the biggest tribute that this government can give to them is to, one, repeal LI. I spoke to Nilante Vanderpoel, who is the CEO of DRIP, and he said, in his own words, let's finish the Galamsey. Going forward, are we going to see...